Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on King of OX.
We are back at it, taking until 8 o'clock this evening. As always, if you want to chime in, 314-436-7900. Something rather remarkable, not just in college football, but in the world of sports, happened this past weekend when Vanderbilt of all teams, beat Alabama. And with that, we're very happy to welcome on an old friend. He used to cover the University of Missouri. Now he is covering Alabama sports for AL.com. He is Matt Stahl. You follow him on Twitter at Matt, STAHL97. Matt, appreciate you taking some time with us. Good to hear from you again.
Oh, yeah. No, thanks for having me. Good to be back on again.
What's it like in Tuscaloosa on the days following Alabama losing to Vanderbilt?
Well, you know, the sun keeps coming up, so I guess the town's going to make it. But, you know, it seems like people aren't handling it well, or I guess are handling it about as well as you would expect, given that, I mean, you can say it again, Alabama lost to Vanderbilt, which is insane. So, yeah, I mean, getting critiques from everything on, you know, defensive scheme to what Kalen DeBoer was wearing during the game.
Well, what a wild 8 days to go in and beat Georgia, and the way that Georgia game went down where – they got out to such a big lead, and you're going, is this real? And then Georgia gets back in it, but Alabama makes plays down the stretch. And then 7 days later, they're losing to Vanderbilt. I mean, that is from a mountain's top to a low of the valley. It's hard to think of a team experiencing more in 8 days.
No, yeah, it's been crazy. And if you back up, it's been a crazy several months in Alabama. I mean, you can go back to before the Georgia game, their last regular season SEC game was the 4th-and-31 Iron Bowl in Auburn. So, I mean, just, yeah, crazy stuff, obviously. I mean, you're going to see here, I guess, how Kalen DeBoer can kind of handle the highs and the lows with the team. I mean, they've had both of them here real recently.
I mean, is the honeymoon for Kalen DeBoer officially over?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. No, it's it's one of those things where if you had told Alabama fans coming into the season you're going to be 4-1, like, I think they'd have been okay with it just because, you know, they assume they lose the Georgia game to what was probably going to be the number one team in the country at that point. But, I mean, you know, I've said this a million times. They lost to Vanderbilt. Like, nobody – like, the coaches before Nick Saban weren't doing that. They hadn't done that since 1984. Like, it's he's lost to the one team that it's unforgivable to lose to at Alabama. Well, and we'll see how this goes going forward.
There's been some comparison to Nick Saban's first year. Was it Louisiana Monroe or one of those teams that they lost to? But very different when you look at the talent that was on the field for Nick Saban in year one and Kalen DeBoer in year one.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, yeah, 2007, Nick Saban loses to ULM. I mean, there's conspiracy theorists that think he sort of sandbagged that game, but, you know, I don't necessarily believe any of that. But you are right. I mean, it was such a different roster at the time. The recruiting had slipped a little bit. Alabama wasn't necessarily even thinking nationally recruiting at that time. Like, you have to think 2006, it was a lot different as far as, like, finding talent. Like, the internet wasn't what it is now as far as being able to just instantly see highlights from everybody on earth. So, yeah, much less talented roster compared to this season where you're supposed to have, I mean, national champion caliber roster. And, you know, Vanderbilt has the guys they could convince to get to come to Vanderbilt and then could get into school. Like, it's just not a game you should be losing.
Has this had any recruiting impact? Because, I mean, that's just the negativity that has existed. Generally, teams lose games, and they just kind of lose games. The national attention that this one single game has gotten, has that had any recruiting impact so far?
No, not so far. You know, I think Kalen DeBoer has, and I'll give him a ton of credit for this, like really, really kept up the recruiting. I think if you look at the 247 rankings now, they're the number two class in the country coming in this year behind Ohio State, which obviously all that's subject to change at any time. But, you know, based on the recruits I've seen, like, everybody's still on board. And obviously, I mean, if this Alabama team just completely crashes out, you might see some change there. And if there's a lot of, you know, turnover on coaching staff, anything like, that would cause more of a issue. But, you know, it doesn't seem like they're recruiting a lot of kids who are going to make their make their choices based on one game. And also, they had a lot of those kids in the building last week when they beat Georgia in the thriller. So, you know, it's their recruiting's still solid for now.
Does Alabama have real issues, or do you chalk that up as just a really weird game and a really weird weekend?
I think it's a little bit of both. I mean, the biggest issue, I mean, the defense just looked unprepared. And I think there, you know, there's enough talent on that defense that I think you can kind of coast in some games. But when you're playing a team like Vanderbilt, you know, I've said this for years. I've said this in reference to Missouri before Eli Drinkwitz got things going there. Like, one of these woebegone SEC programs should start running some sort of like an option offense, mm-hmm. just to do what, you know, Georgia Southern used to do to teams, where like it's really, really hard to play the option once a year, just because like it's nothing that you've prepared for anywhere else all season. So it was some of that with Vanderbilt. There were some fluke elements. I mean, the winning points kind of come back to a pick six that bounced off somebody's helmet and like 15 feet into the air. So, you know, you get that play back, maybe we're having a different conversation. But, I mean, that defense looked unprepared, and that can't happen going forward.
I spent 6 years covering Air Force football, and you would see very talented teams just have no clue what to do against that Air Force offense.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I've said for years, it's Missouri, you know, one of the Mississippi schools, like Vanderbilt. Somebody should try it. It evens out your talent sort of in the same way that some of the air raid stuff Josh Heupel has done through the years does.
You covered Mizzou for quite some time. Just before we get you out of here, I'm sure you have thoughts on what's going on there, where their first two games against lesser opponents, they were dominant. They didn't give up a point. Then all of a sudden you start to see some blemishes, but they still got wins against Boston College and Vanderbilt, and Boston College was a top 25 team. And then they go to Texas A&M, and those blemishes that you saw in those last two games become just full-out problems, and they just get run off the field by Texas A&M. How do you feel about what's going on right now in Columbia?
You know, it seemed like they lost a lot of talent on defense through the offseason. You know, you lose Blake Baker. I don't think you could take that lightly either. But, you know, it just seems like they haven't quite been there with the explosive offense that you'd expect Mizzou to have, given the wide receiving core and having Brady Cook back. And, you know, they don't have Cody Schrader on that team anymore either, which, you know, I think they miss him. But, you know, beyond that, they ran into a very, very competent Texas A&M team, too, like one that was going to take advantage of every mistake. So, yeah, we'll see going forward, I think, there.
I do wonder if this schedule legitimately allows them to get into the college football playoff outside of a win against Alabama. Because even if they win out the schedule, if they lose to Alabama, which I think they're likely to do in Tuscaloosa, there's no guarantee that Oklahoma is going to be ranked when they play them later in the season. Oklahoma has a tough schedule in front of them, and they're at number 18. Those are the two ranked teams left on the schedule. There's a scenario where Mizzou goes 10-2 and just getting run off the field by Texas A&M is such a big thing that they're on the outside looking in.
Yeah, you know, you see it with a few of the teams this year, because Ole Miss also has a really, like, fairly, I guess, what you would call an easy schedule in the SEC, where, you know, had they been back in the SEC West and Mizzou was back in the SEC East, there would be these, like, guaranteed, like, games against pretty tough opponents that you would have that would really boost your strength of schedule. But, I mean, you kind of saw it with Georgia last year. I think Missouri might sort of fall into the same scenario, right, where Georgia got that game against Oklahoma canceled because they were joining the SEC and they want to play it as a non-conference game. So when they lose to Alabama and that's their first loss of the year, like, the rest of their strength of schedule is so rough that they make the 14 playoff. And, you know, if Mizzou drops another one, yeah, you're right. It could sort of be that same scenario, but in the 12 team.
Is this the argument to get one more league game on the schedule in the SEC so teams have one more opportunity to have a big, big opponent?
Yeah, it's probably more than that. I think it's more of a, like, you gotta get some of these teams' rivalries on the schedule every single year. Just, like, some way to guarantee that everybody's going to see some quality opponents through the years. And, you know, you never know. Like, I remember there were years where, like, the Pac-12 would just completely cannibalize itself with all of its good teams beating each other. And, you know, maybe that's where the SEC kind of is getting at this point, where, like, if there's not a one dominant presence in the league, maybe they run into issues with teams just kind of like eating each other alive here.
Yeah, but my pushback on that is that ESPN's not going to let that happen. Like they will always, as long as this college football playoff exists and as long as you've got top teams from the SEC, they're going to do everything in their power to make sure that multiple SEC teams have a pathway in.
No, you're right, and I could yell about ESPN's influence on the sport all day. But, yeah, no, I think that's really fair. I don't think you saw it last year. Like, I'll say it on St. Louis radio, and I don't know that I'd necessarily say on Tuscaloosa radio. Florida State should have been in last season. Like, it's bogus that they weren't. They got sort of cheated by ESPN or whoever's making that call. So, yeah, you know, you're right. ESPN will have its SEC teams in there. It'll have its Big Ten teams in there. God forbid they start getting a bunch of auto bids. It'll get even worse.
Absolutely. Well, Matt, great to talk to you. It's awesome to see you continuing to do well covering Alabama, and hopefully we can continue to chat with you every once in a while.
Absolutely, anytime.
Awesome, very good. That's Matt Stahl, part of the team at AL.com, covers the Crimson Tide based out of Tuscaloosa. Some of the audio that resulted out of that Alabama game is just wild. We're going to play some of it for you coming up in just a moment. This is the Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.